There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next hour, and you're a big part of the show at 343-0106, be it on the text line or the phone line. And Calvin suggested on the text line here that we should have a call and ask the Sullivan children anything segment. I finally got some backup in the studio. My buddy Brendan Kirby from Fox 10 TV joins me. That could go great, or you as a dad might be able to suggest it might not go great.
Yeah, I mean, live programming, right? I mean, isn't that the thrill of live programming? You
sure
don't know
it is.
What's
yes.
going to happen.
We may do that, Calvin. Now that you suggested toward the end, the Sullivan children will take your calls and answer some questions, and that could turn out bad. Okay, I had so much to get into with you, and you're in studio, man. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you like my new?
Yeah, man. You got the windbreaker.
Yeah.
You got the wind. That's like a. This is what happens. So all these years in radio, I've never gotten a radio station windbreaker. So, and you go right into television, you got a windbreaker.
Oh, this was what my father was most excited about. You know, they come down and visit every winter.
Right.
And they found out that I was going to be going to work for Fox 10, so they made a point to watch the Fox 10 news. And my father said, he can get one of those cool jackets? I don't know, maybe.
So, your accomplishment in life, after all these years, Dad's proudest of the windbreaker?
Right.
Well, I guess I'm with your dad. I'm kind of jealous of it, so it does look cool. And a lot to talk about here, but I do want to get into your story, the investigative story here, recycling woes, local governments struggle with a collapsed market. And this is off what I'm sure somebody is riding down the road right now in a neighborhood, and they're looking at one of those totes by the corner, you know, where people have taken their recycling out to be picked up, right?
Right.
Organize the cardboard here, the plastic here. We're going to help the environment and we're going to get this stuff recycled.
Right. And so, the old joke is you see someone and they're washing off their trash, basically, mm-hmm. their cans and plastics containers, and they're putting in the recycling and separating it out. And the joke is, well, why are you wasting all that energy? It's going to the same landfill the trash is.
Wait. It's recycled. We're doing good for the environment. We're recycling.
Right.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Recycling is a market like anything else. And right now, the market has basically collapsed. And it's mostly due to the fact that China, in the last year or so, has stopped importing certain kinds of recyclables from the United States. And they've dramatically raised the quality of what they're demanding for the stuff that they do import. So just like your basic economic supply and demand, with that huge China market out now, that means that the demand for this stuff has fallen through the floor. And, the supply is the same. And so all these municipalities and counties have all this recycling material, can't sell it to China anymore. So, just if you remember back to basic economics, what happens to the price mm-hmm. when the supply stays the same and the demand falls?
Sure.
Or the price falls. So you got that, and it's almost like a perfect storm because you also have the fact that oil prices have been low and the market fluctuates in inverse relationship to that. When oil is really high and things are expensive, there's more of an incentive to recycle. Plastics being key. When oil prices is low, it's cheaper for companies just to make new stuff than to recycle.
Yeah, okay, but dealing with commodity markets, those change, right? The supplies and prices change. And in this case, if we talk about oil, those prices, I mean, let's go fill up when we leave here.
Right,
fill
right.
our cars up.
So if oil shoots back up and reaches a certain threshold, that's going to be bad for those of us who drive, but it will be good for recycling because the demand will rise for recycled items because it would be more economical for companies to, make new plastic products with recycled materials rather than just, using new materials. Now, I will say, I was joking about stuff ending up in the landfill.
Well, not completely.
Yeah. Well, it has happened across the country. Hasn't happened really here. I mean, we checked with the recycling operations in the Gulf Coast, and no one is trashing stuff yet because of the market. But they're getting a lot less.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, I want to talk about this. And this China angle is interesting because a lot of people, China being this big consumer of scrap or recycle out of the United States, a lot of people think about it in the metal market. How much, metal, when metal prices got high, how much was going to China out of here? I mean, it did a good job of cleaning up the countryside. You couldn't find an old trashed out washing machine or old car body or anything for a long time. China was driving that. And you're telling me China was driving the price for cardboard,
yeah, cardboard and mixed paper.
Yeah. Wow. Coming right back, more on this with Fox 10 TV's Brendan Kirby. Check the story out over at fox10tv.com. We'll put it up on the Twitter feed as well. Coming right back, this is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile as we're talking with Brendan Kirby from Fox 10 TV about recycling. Also, the Sullivan Children Inn for National Take Your Children to Work Day. And my son rocking out to that. That's Mandrill, by the way, son, from back in the 70s. Mandrill is the name of the... And we'll place him on the iPod at the house, okay? It's good stuff. Good rock and roll. Because Daddy's got good rock and roll on the show to get in and out of segments. All right, continue this discussion. You're talking about a couple things here. International story, but also a very local story when it comes to recycling. And you said cardboard and plastic specifically here. The Chinese were buying a bunch of this for a period of time that was driving that price up.
Right, exactly. And cities and counties all throughout the country were making a pretty nifty return on those recycled items. Now, I don't know how many were actually making a profit in that, I don't think cities were able to subsidize other government functions, but it was able to seriously defray the costs of
because they still have to go pick up the boxes.
Got to go pick it up.
Yeah.
And it defrays the cost, and, now it's turned around. And, I'll just basically, a lot of the cities and counties in this area along the Gulf Coast use this utility called the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority.
Okay.
And that's owned by the state of Florida. They're in Escambia County, and it's a giant, they call it a MRF.
A
MRF. It's a materials recovery facility.
Okay.
And it's a really impressive operation. They've got conveyor belts and cranes and trucks and mechanical arms. I mean, it's a really cool field trip to go out there and see it in operation. And they process all this stuff. Trucks come in, they unload their stuff, they go through it, they separate out the trash. Now, when I say, recycling ended up in the landfill,
yeah.
On average, you can lose up to 25% of the recycled items due to contamination because people don't know what they're
Watching your story on that, you talked about the contamination. What is contamination on a recyclable?
Well, basically, if the stream is not clean and it's got garbage, sometimes people just like throw their garbage away, styrofoam cups, hoses. The guy I talked to over there said the strangest thing he'd ever seen was a shark. so people don't try to recycle sharks. So this stuff gets mixed in with like other recyclable items, and at a certain point, it contaminates it, and you have to throw the whole thing away. So now some cities, he said they love the Eastern Shore cities because they pre-sort this stuff, so it's a pretty clean stream. But
right.
just as an industry average, you might lose a quarter, and then they pack that up and send it into the landfill. It's this place is right next to the Perdido landfill, which I was told is the highest elevation in the state of Florida. So if you want
to listen, and there's some children sitting next to you on our pilgrimages to South Florida and back. I point out the mountains in Florida that are trash piles, yeah. You know, as you go by them. So with cardboard, with plastic, this is the story. Is it now a break even or is it a loss?
Yeah, I mean, it's a loss. And
so municipalities lose money by collecting recycled cardboard and plastic.
Right. I mean, just in terms of that. Now, you have to weigh other factors in. You're still going to have to pick it up, right?
So, well, yeah, that's the interesting part because, I mean, there's people asking, you know, what if, isn't this the same tonnage of trash?
Exactly. So, if you're going around and you've got recycling guys picking up the recycling and the trash men, to use the old term, picking up the garbage, you know, whether that's in two streams or one, you're still going to have to pick it all up. So there's a cost there to get it regardless of where it's going. And anything you divert out of the landfill, you save the tipping fee in the landfill. So the Magnolia landfill in Baldwin County, it's $30 a ton. So you have to weigh that, you know, that if you're not selling it, even if you have to give away the recycling, even if you have to pay a little bit, at least you're saving the, you know, the tipping fee. So that's why a lot of the public works directors I talked to said, yeah, it's a bad market right now. You know, a few years ago, ECUA was paying cities for their, they were buying this stuff from them at a, you know, pretty nice return. Now these cities are actually paying ECUA to take it off their hands. So it's in Daphne, it's currently $2 a ton. And it's about set to rise to $25 a ton. So that's a big cost. And Daphne's right now trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do about it? Should we cut back? Should we raise fees? You know, how do we handle that deficit? But you also have to remember that even if you're paying $25 a ton, at least you're not paying $30 a ton, you know, on the tipping fee to put it in the landfill. So it's a kind of a complicated issue.
Yeah, but there's a place where those two numbers will line up, and then you got to make a hard decision when it's no better for a municipality to sort it for recycling than it is to just go ahead and pay it to dump it as trash.
Right, yeah, and then you get into the situation that, you know, recycling tends to be popular. So, you know, a lot of these cities say, even if it's going to cost us, this is a service our citizens have come to expect. They want to recycle, so, you know.
There's been a lot on that, and I'm not going to speak from my expert opinion here, but I've watched enough and read, you know, quite a bit on this, that once you get away from aluminum, aluminum's the winner. There's no argument in anything I've ever read that aluminum's a win for recycling. It's a lot better, takes less energy to recycle the aluminum we have and reuse it than to go mine more aluminum and make it through the process. But you do get in, when you're talking about those numbers, with plastic, depending on the price of oil or cardboard, I guess, that there's a certain point where it is not only cheaper, but uses less energy to produce the stuff new.
Right, yeah. I mean, and the weight has a lot to do with it, too. Glass is something that ECUA collects, and they give it away. They have a truck come down from Atlanta or someplace and pick up this glass, take it, and they turn it into that glass vault that they, you know, pave roads with, and they don't make any money on it. They just give it away, but
they save the money at the dump.
But they save the tipping fee, and glass is heavy. So, you know, I mean, around the country, some places have had, you know, made more extreme decisions than have been made here so far. City of Philadelphia, they're taking about half of their recycled stream and they're putting it into this trash to steam plant that, you know, that burns it and turns it into energy. You know, they have these recycling bins in the Memphis International Airport still, but all that stuff is just being thrown away because of the market. And, you know, it's especially a really big city. You can imagine trying to replace the lost customers here. You know, smaller cities have had a better time because, you know, you just find another buyer, and you know, you don't have as much stuff that you have to unload, and it's you know, you just take a lower price for it.
No, but this is as, I mean, it's maybe overly simplified, but it seems to me as simple as the Chinese economy needing these products at a certain price again could turn this. I mean, this, like, a true commodity market right now, could be the doldrums for these municipalities locally and all that. But in a year's time, something could happen globally that all of a sudden they're flush again.
Yeah, and you know, the old hands in the recycling industry tell me this is cyclical, and they've seen this over the years. Price goes up and down, it fluctuates. It's really just like any other commodities market. You know, so what they do is they just, you know, ride out the bad times and and wait for the good times. Baldwin County, the Baldwin County landfill, they have space, and they'll store the recycling stuff that people drop off at the bins in the county. And, you know, they try to time
the market.
They'll just let it build up and just sort of ride out the, you know, the low market some. But, you know, they've been affected too. Everyone is getting less money for their cardboard, their plastic, and their mixed paper. And, you know, so you just sort of eat it. But again, I mean, not only do you save the tipping fee at the landfill, but you're also extending the life of the landfill, right? So, you know, once the landfill gets full and you have to dig a new one or expand it, you know, then the cost really ratchet up, and they say you can bet that the tipping fee is going to be a lot higher than $30. Right.
Well, with the but you have a separate entity. I mean, you have the one, you know, one entity with the landfill, obviously a municipality, you know, and so, I mean, yes, you can worry about, hey, you fill this up, they have to make a new one, it's going to be higher, but they could also raise the rate on it, right?
They could, yeah.
I mean, just on the current landfill.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you know, if you just put on your green eye shades and do this just on an accounting basis, as you were saying, at a certain point, it reached this tipping point where, all costs considered, it's more economical just to throw it away than to recycle it. But it's a little more complicated than that, because, you know, these are governments that represent their people and represent a democracy, and these tend to be, you know, popular programs. And, you know, we don't expect the police department to make a profit, right?
Right.
And they say this is a service just like this. It's not a business. It's a government service that we provide the citizens. And
but
the
once it starts, yes, but once it starts not breaking even,
mm-hmm.
right, then that money has to be budgeted or come from somewhere else. In your article, you talk about other municipalities adding these surcharges to do it.
Right, yeah. I mean, Daphne and Fairhope both have raised fees for recycling and garbage collection over the last few years. And, you know, that's brought it up to help defray it. And there's not a lot of appetite to raise them again. So what do you do? So if, you know, you're Daphne, you're looking at $50,000 in an unbudgeted expense. You know, when they passed the budget, they didn't anticipate this. Contracts up.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, because if you have to budget for the year ahead, for the fiscal right. year ahead, and you're projecting, but you don't know that the commodity market changes like this, then you could be up some. You could have money you didn't expect, but you could also be in the hole.
Right, and so that's what Daphne is going to have to decide on over the next few weeks. Is what do we do? I mean, there are options. Right now they collect yard waste once a week. So the city council president was telling us, well, you know, we could cut that back to once every other week. We'd save some money that way, and that might account for it. You know, you could raise fees. There doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite there. He said you could just scale back the recycling program and focus on the more lucrative items and just trash the rest. You know, so there's, you know, you could try and find other buyers. I mean, they might just decide, hey, this ECUA operation too expensive. Maybe we can do better marketing our stuff directly to somebody. You know, so there's a lot of options, but, you know, you've got to make the two ledgers meet somehow.
Right. And it's just the appetite of the community, how much they want to subsidize something, or, you know, if they, yeah, we'll do it if it, you know, we don't get charged, but if we get charged, we're not so interested. Sometimes people's opinion on what they project as a virtue of theirs changes by how much it costs them.
I mean, a city of Mobile, I talked to John Peavy, the public works director, and you know, they don't do curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have private haulers that do it,
yeah,
but the city doesn't do it. So the city has two drop-off locations, and just from that, and they send it to ECUA, and their cost is about to rise from $9 a ton to $25 a ton.
Wow.
And John Peavy says that is going to be $100,000 to the city. You know, even though, I mean, you imagine what it would be if they picked up everyone's recycling and had to replace that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bunch. All right, before we wrap up here, I want to grab a call here. Thomas is in Theodore. You're on with Brendan Kirby.
Good afternoon, children. This is a delight. Brendan, well, the children, first, I'd like to hear some arithmetic and theater at the end of the show.
No, we'll do that. We'll do that coming up.
Now, the other kids here, the adult kids. Brendan, congratulations for getting a job with TV10.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I've listened to you since you've been on with Sean, and I have to say you're in the top two brains around.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and very much looking forward to carrying on Fox 10's tradition to investigative journalism. It's been very successful, and I'm still learning the TV part of the business, and it's very exciting.
But the investigation stuff and data mining, this man has it on lock. Thomas Kahn-Cole, thank you. Remind folks, too, yeah, they want to check out this story, where they go get it, and any of your other work, how do they find you?
Go to fox10tv.com, and if you look at the little drop-down menu, there's a section for investigations, so that's where you'll find our investigative pieces, and just go to the homepage, and all the news is on there.
Of course, you don't want to now see Brendan knocking at your door. That's the scary thing. Hey, by the way, let's do this as we run to the news break. I'm looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106. Yeah, it's Hot Pockets time. A pair of tickets for Jim Gaffigan. He's coming to the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now, but you can win a pair right now by being caller 6 at 343-0106. Good luck.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Big thank you to Brendan Kirby with Fox 10 TV. And you can check out that story about recycling. Yeah, you know, looking at stories over the years, I mean, aluminum is a home run when it comes to recycling. Even as markets fluctuate, just like any other commodity, it stays in the, it's worth the energy to recycle it. But there are a bunch of other questions as we look at all the things people want to recycle. If you're looking at the total environmental impact, you got to look at two things. You got to look at landfills and those kind of things that last forever. At the same time, you got to ask yourself, if it takes this much energy to recycle something, energy that could come from, you know, I mean, most likely natural gas or coal-powered plants to recycle it, what have you accomplished? By the way, congratulations, John Winter. Just picked up a pair of tickets to go check out Jim Gaffigan and the Quality Time Tour coming to the Wharf Amphitheater. That show comes up on Saturday, May 11th. You've got Brian Adams on that Friday night, and then the next night, Jim Gaffigan. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone. You can do that at 800-745-3000. All right, as we continue in the show, we grab some calls. Plus, there's been some rumbling out there for the Sullivan children to answer some questions. I need to pre-screen the questions for you two, but if they've got questions for people want to have asked, like Calvin and others have wanted to ask the Sullivan children questions. So, do you have any questions while y'all are here? You've been very good. An hour and a half plus of Midday Mobile. Any questions on how things work yet, kids? You good?
Yes, sir. I think we're good. It's pretty fun.
Is it fun?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I get some ringing endorsements there from the Sullivan children that it's been pretty fun. Let's grab some calls, and we'll do that. 343-0106. Plus, I got a couple texts to get into here in just a second. First, to the phones and Adman in downtown Irvington. Hey, man.
Well, you have a couple of really bright children there, Sean.
Thank you. I don't know. Thank goodness I had a wife to help me with that.
I had called in and texted you, trying to bring attention to what was going on in our state legislature with Senator David Sessions and Randy Price. Killing this carry bill. President Pro Tem Dale Marsh put it into the tourism.
Yeah, it was in the tourism committee, right.
And they just kind of killed it, and I'm just real disappointed.
You know, it was interesting looking at that, though. It was a 6-5, I think, coming out of there, which is the closest. I know this doesn't mean a hill of beans for somebody who was looking for it to get through, but it was the closest I had seen in a vote yet in committee. And obviously, it was put in a committee that Del Marsh has his influence. Of course, he's head of that committee and Speaker Pro Tem. But that 6-5, I think, is the closest I've seen for the Sessions bill. You know, and that was the fourth or fifth year of that bill in some form being brought up.
Well, why did David Sessions kill it then?
Out of Tuscaloosa. What's the what is the guy's name? With a D. Out of Tuscaloosa, the guy that brings the bill up each year. But it's the closest that bill had gotten. I don't know. I don't know why they. I mean, I have a feeling they squashed it because law enforcement, from police departments to sheriff's departments, to everybody I've talked to in law enforcement, doesn't want it.
Well, Well, of course, it gets into their income. I mean, maybe they ought to start charging for a fee for people to go to church and exercise their First Amendment right or to free speech.
But, you know, that does have to be taken up in Montgomery. That's one of the weird, you know, so many things we're dealing with, how Alabama works. And they don't, they are told, the sheriffs in the 67 counties are told how much they can, they issue the concealed carry permits for. I mean, it's not at their discretion.
Yeah. It's still a profit center, but listen,
well, sure,
I'll take up another subject, but that's enough of your time. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you. Appreciate that, man. And Gerald Allen, thank you, Dalton, as I'm juggling multiple things here. Gerald Allen's bill. This is, I think, the fourth or fifth session that bill has been brought up. And, yeah, I think a fourth, and it made it close 6-5, but did not come out. This constitutional carry bill that has been probably come back next year, though. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Pablo in Daphne is up next. Hey, Pablo.
Hey, Sean. Sean, nothing against your guest, but he didn't. There was one other thing that was left out in the example of Daphne. You know, with their issues with recycling as it relates to trash pickup. They also liquidated a truck that had three guys on the truck, two on the back, one driver, and they've gone to an automated system. You had two cans, now you only have one can. Of course, that's on the trash side. They still have the recycling side, but they did save a ton of money on that. So it's like the poor, you know, municipality, or in this case, it's I guess it's Daphne Utility. They're not exactly. It just seems like the public is getting less and less service, and the prices are going up and up and up. The second point I was going to make is a lot of these larger subdivisions are kind of held hostage by some of these, you know, municipalities and public utilities. I'd like to see you do a show on, you know, open that up and where some of these really large subdivisions. I live in one that's got over 300 houses in it. Why can't they go out and get their own private trash service? When you talk to the officials, you know, it's basically like this is the only option you have. Another example of that would be down at the beach. You've got Baldwin County Solid Waste, and they'll pretty much tell you they're the only game in town. You know, why couldn't you bring in a waste management or something like that, open it up to the private sector, and get some of that pricing down, and let the let competition, you know, lower some of those prices and where you can get your service back, especially after a holiday weekend. You know, you've got trash falling all out of the can. You've only got one can you can use now. It's kind of like we're just getting a lot less for a lot more money.
You know, it's interesting to bring it up on the waste collection front, because a lot of times the argument for a utility will be brought up that, sure, I mean, if we're talking about water, we're talking about electricity, the infrastructure is so massive, you have to create, a utility to be able to invest the money, know that they'll get the return on it. I get that, and you don't want two sets of power lines and two sets of water. But on trash pickup, you bring up a good point that seems like somewhere that if you want to bring some competition in the mix, the infrastructure is the trucks, right? I mean, the infrastructure is nothing more than the vehicles and then the facility where you take the stuff to.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't. You know what? I'll try to get it. I don't have. You know, I don't have the answer, but we'll ask some people that might and find out more about that. And the question that Brendan brought up, I think, is interesting, is how much subsidy, and that can be a voluntary subsidy through a fee, right? You choose, if you want to have a recycling bin, you pay whatever it is a month, versus a built-in fee where it's already built in and what you're paying in taxes in the city. But this is, he mentioned police, like police and fire. They're not supposed to make a profit. Of course not. And I've said this to that same boot when I talk about some of the parks in the city and things like that, that for Mobile, there are some things. I'm not a ridiculous libertarian that has no pragmatism. I have plenty of it, I think. And there are things that are quality of life issues for a city. And they don't have to make a profit. And at the same time, how much can they cost? As you realize there's a certain cost for law enforcement, public safety, for fire, for roads. Those are things that are, I think, core to what it means to have services from a city or a county. But on the nuance of not just trash pickup, but specifically recyclables, what is the appetite for that? And is it enough that it should be already built in? It's just like fire and police and trash pickup, or should it be a la carte where citizens step up, and if they want that picked up every other day or something like that, they get or every other week or every week, they pay $1.50 or whatever it is, $2, and they get it. Dan and Daphne says, so trash collection cost me $48 a quarter. How is that an outlandish amount? And it's been that way as far back as I can remember. So $48 a quarter is what Dan, and this is Dan and Daphne. So there's Daphne. Let's see here. Dave says, Sean, some Yankee high tax cities don't have residential garbage pickup fees. It's built in the taxes. Well, yeah, Mobile's the same way, right? So that was one of the changes. It's built in. It's not a Mobile's that same way. It's not on top of that. It is built in. Of course, that started a discussion way back. I think it was Quinn Hillier, who will come on with us, who brought that up as an idea when they wanted to do away with the penny. I think if I'm right, remember this correctly, when they do away with the penny, bring the sales tax down from 10 down to like 9 or 8 or something like that. One of the revenue streams he was going to use to make up the revenue and keep it revenue neutral was a fee. If I remember this right, and if Quinn, if you're listening, if I got it wrong, you can correct me, but I think it was an idea to have a per can cost, something like that. Although, you know, I'm looking at Arcan needs some work too, by the way, City of Mobile. Y'all see that, children? We lost the top almost yesterday when trash pickup,
garbage pickup.
Sullivan kids are in here. They'll take your calls too. If you want to talk to my better seconds and thirds, they're sitting in here and they're ready to take your call. 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have y'all here. Hey, speaking of today being Thursday, 6 this evening to 8 this evening, another great event at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Tonight, Ghost Train Brewing out of Birmingham will be there. Kelsey with Ghost Train is going to be there giving you a sample of their core lineup and some of their new brews, like their Boysenberry Smoothie Sour Ale, their Stout Side of the Moon Imperial Milk Stout, their Gulf Coast India Pale Ale, their Switchman Stash India Pale Ale, and their Kaleidoscope Kettle Sour Ale. That and a whole lot more tonight from 6 to 8 at Cottage Hill Package. Check out the craft beers, also the fine wines, the spirits, the huge humidor, chock a block full of cigars, the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, also online at cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them over on Facebook. All right, we'll grab a couple calls here too, and I'm learning new things. Like earlier, see if I've done this correctly. As, by the way, if you're just joining us, it's National Take Your Children to Work Day, and this has been the first time we've ever had a chance to do this, because every time this has happened before, y'all were in school, but the Sullivan children are on spring break this week, so they got to come sit in and watch the boring job that Dad does for 5 hours a day. You get to see 2 hours of it. What do you think so far?
It's been pretty fun. I've had a good time.
What do you think?
Amazing!
Amazing, amazing. Okay, I translated amazing. So, last hour I learned that I was not pronouncing. I was saying Sri Lanka, and my daughter here said it's
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. So I was educated there, and then during the Your Money Now update there from the financial markets, the word Disney came up, and not only are you two fans of the Disney products, right? The movies and all that. You're at least my daughter here interested in the revenue. You chip off the old block, right? Interested in the revenue for Disney Corp. And you said they made how much? What was the last? What was the last quarterly on Disney?
It was like $13.22 billion last year.
Okay, you're looking
just
at
in 1 year.
Not bad. Now they own, you know, they own a lot of other stuff, not just the Tragic
ABC
Kingdom
and stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh. Used to be ABC Capstar, and that was okay. It's giving people too much of a view into what it's like to be in our house and talk about news. Let's go to Jazzy in Mobile. Jazzy up next. Hello, Jazzy.
Oh, I'm so glad that your daughter did not inherit your and my acumen with numbers, shall we say.
Yeah, my children are good with numbers. Yeah, they're not like their dad.
or me. First of all, the trash thing, I don't have an answer, but I do have a comment. It seems kind of disproportionate that people who do recycle what they can and do not regenerate much waste at all, to the extent that their trash is not even picked up every, you know, maybe sometimes not for a month, pay the same amount in taxes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it's not commensurate with the use of it. It's not a use tax. It's a flat fee.
Right. Hmm. And I just wanted to make that comment. But mostly I wanted to talk to your charming children. They're delightful. I wanted to say that I remember going with my mother to the same, you know, take your kid to work day, and she was brave. She was working at Bates Field as a switchboard operator.
Oh no! How old were you when you went in there to the?
I think I was in the second grade or something like that.
Okay.
And she had to. Now this is what I got to ask your children. Mom did. She had these things that she put, these wires that she pulled out with plugs, and she plugged them into these things so that people in at Bates Field could talk to each other and coordinate things. And she actually had to take a bathroom break because she was my youngest sister was on the way, and she left me in charge of it, and I really screwed everything up.
Wait a second! Then you decided to start doing switchboard operations while your mother was indisposed.
Well, no, I was. She just went, well, whatever. You know, I mean, come on. There were seven kids. You know, by that time, I'd worn her down. Okay.
That's right. And you free range them when you have that many. Jazzy, appreciate the call. So, but the kids, y'all get to touch those mics right there, right? You get the equipment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right there.
Yes.
See, there, the man of few words, but they're solid words when he goes with it. all right, grab. Let's see here. We live in the country, private pay. Okay, Republic, $90 a quarter. So here's somebody, because Dan and Daphne said $48 a quarter in the municipality. Here's somebody in the county, and they're paying $90 a quarter. But Jazzy brings up something pretty interesting. Oh, yeah, and Ben says most people don't know that in the municipality world, trash and garbage are different operations. Right, or as we call it, big trash. Right? Dad says big trash, like there's garbage and there's big trash.
Yes, sir.
Interesting, Jazzy. I've not thought about that. And you know, I'm one that believes in a use tax more than a flat fee. But that's interesting. I don't know how you judge that. I mean, you got to pay to have trash picked up, whether you just throw a couple things in there or you throw massive tonnage like the Sullivan children produce in trash. So, you know, do that. All right. Anything else that you think folks need to know, children, today? What do you think? What you can pass along? We got like 2.5 minutes here till the end of the show. Paul Feinbaum on the way.
It's National Autism Awareness Month.
Is it? Let's talk about that. When it's that month, what do you do? What do you, I know we've had some events here. We had
a sock day.
Yeah, sock day. Tell us about the sock day.
Well, I don't know too much about it, but I know that
you wear because you're a fan of crazy socks, right?
Oh, fancy socks. Crazy socks, yes,
okay.
Sir.
And there's a way, and there's a design there.
It's like a puzzle piece thing, and it's just to show awareness and make it more prevalent in like society and stuff.
There you go. So bringing awareness to that is fantastic. And to the younger Sullivan, anything we missed here? Anything you would like to encourage people you want to talk about that they need to be paying attention to out there? What do you think? What are people missing out on? Nothing? What's robots? More robots? You think we need a robot show on here?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. It looks like that's a... We'll work that into the programming. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go to the phones here. We've got just about 30 seconds here before we wrap up and head to the news. Celeste is in Mobile. Hello, Celeste.
Hey, Sean. Since your daughter was kind enough to bring up autism awareness, I'd like everybody in Mobile and Baldwin counties to know that Camp Smile is looking for boy volunteers starting at the age of 16. To come be a camp counselor and be paired up with a special needs child for Camp Smile. It runs the last week of June all the way, I think, through the third week of July. That's, and you can apply online at campsmile.org.
That was my next question. Where do you go apply? So campsmile.org. Are y'all on Facebook or anywhere they can book there?
Yep, we're on Facebook, Camp Smile. I think it's Camp Smile Mobile. I'm not sure. But if you put Camp Smile Mobile Alabama in Google, we'll pop right up.
Okay, and looking once again, counselors, what age?
Starting at the age of 16, we need a lot more boys. We're covered up with girls. Lots of lovely, civic-minded young ladies, but we could really use some fellas.
All right, boys, there you go. Got your work cut out for you. Celeste, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, kiddos.
All right, tell, hey, children, tell everybody bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.